This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Red Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Bigs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station, and a very valued friend who we love dearly. And he joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Bigs A!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, are you in Indy or are you heading there? What's your plan?
Oh, I'll get there at some point today.
Today's the day,
it
right?
Starts when you get there.
Well, that's it.
Yeah. Well, I'll get down there today. I talked to Dave about Dave's got some connections with the Indiana State Police, and we're gonna open up.
Got you covered.
We're gonna open up things on 65 South a little bit.
We got you covered. Yeah, got a clear pathway.
Things is moving.
To get down there in time. So, Brad, when you get down there and you start talking to people, I think one of the questions, when you get really into what the Bears roster looks like now that they made the moves on Friday, Gerald Everett and DeMarcus Walker were cut for saving as much as $10.75 million. Is there another move that they're preparing for? Is it a defensive line move? What can you tell us about what they might have in store?
Well, I don't know that they're going to be cutting any more guys anytime real soon. I don't see another move to free up a bunch of cap space. And these were, like, people talk about, well, these guys are cap casualties. Yeah, you create some more cap space. I don't know that you were getting what you were paying for either one of them. Right, and it's not like they had to have the cap space that these guys provided because they were in an advantageous cap situation when last Friday started, and when the day ended, those guys were cut and did provide them some more room. I got some people nearly aghast that they would consider releasing DeMarcus Walker because of their depth situation on the line. And I'm like, if the guy's not worth your $7 million a year contract, why are you keeping him? How's he making you better? Grand total of 7 sacks over the last 2 seasons. Listen, he answered the bell. He was out there every Sunday, 17 games each of the past 2 seasons. But he's not a difference maker. They overpaid him when he arrived. And they've got to get better. Like, keeping him as some rotational piece doesn't make you a better football team. They need to find some help on the defensive line. There's no question about that. I've heard people talk about Khalil Mack, and that one doesn't add up to me, guys. He just turned 34, I think, on Friday. probably a heck of a celebration coming off a 6-sack season for the Chargers. I would think that he could do better this coming season, that he's got a little more gas left in the tank. But if they go out and sign a 34-year-old edge rusher in free agency, to me, that's the equivalent of that's like the defensive version of Keenan Allen. Now, they traded for Keenan Allen this past year, but what are you doing?
I'm curious, Brad. Okay, $10.75 million, that could be a significant contribution, right? I mean, you look at the amount of cap. They didn't need the money, is my point. So you're absolutely right. They're looking at production versus what. But Walker is a guy who they had playing inside on occasion, outside, whatever. That seems like, and I'm not overselling him, but that just seems like a position where you have to have someone. And there are some big names out there. Right. And you think they're clearing money to sign someone, right? Am I wrong about that?
I think they had enough money to sign pretty much whoever they want before these moves,
right.
You know, depending on how it's structured. I don't want to minimize what they've got to get done on that defensive line, both in terms of on the interior and at the edge. But, guys, let's not get too far away from the offensive line store, which is where they need to be shopping come March 12th when free agency opens. That's like when the offensive line store opens at 3 o'clock on March 12th, that, you know, Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, they need to be walking in the front door there.
Oh yeah, they're going to be gate crashers. They're going to be door busters. They're going to be like those people on Black Friday morning when they run into Walmart.
Yeah. They'll be sleeping overnight.
Right. Yes, they will be.
There's no e-commerce. They need to show up in person at the offensive line.
Good morning, Trey. How are you? Here's a $25 million check. All right, Brad, so looking big picture at the Bears front office as you speak of them, how awkward, or is it overstating it from the outside, will it be for them to work Ian Cunningham back into the mix, the hierarchy? Where does he sit at these meetings? Ben Johnson is right next to Ryan Poles in philosophical lockstep. Where does that leave Ian Cunningham now that he did not get the Jaguars general manager job?
Well, I think Ian Cunningham got an extension last offseason. I believe that's the case. So I'd expect him to be in the mix. You know, I think maybe he wasn't involved in everything in terms of interviews for the head coaching candidates earlier in the offseason, and then perhaps in some of their personnel meetings, just because they would want to avoid any type of conflict of interest or things of that nature. But, I mean, he's been a trusted guy for Ryan Poles since day one. And, you know, a guy who's risen up certainly is Jeff King. And that's why I think King was the obvious replacement for Ian, if Ian had gotten the job in Jacksonville, or remember he had two interviews with the Titans earlier this offseason, didn't get that spot either. So I thought King would have been the new assistant GM, but Ian and Ryan have worked very closely since they arrived back in 2022.
Has Cunningham's star faded because the Bears haven't made a move, because they lost 10 in a row, because the greatest trade ever kind of faded a little bit, and the guy they passed on became the best defensive tackle in the NFL. I mean, did he have a job in Arizona that he didn't want? Like, he had an opportunity.
Yeah, turned down the Cardinals' job.
See, that happens, though. Guys have their run. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, not as hot a candidate.
Right, and how do you sell that to your fan base? And I'm just asking the question, like, hey, our new GM came from the Bears. Okay, what do you do with the Bears? Well, you start and you look at the win total, right? You look at the playoffs and you look at things of that nature. And there's got to be a level of that that's tough sell. Like, Tony Baselli's running the interviews in Jacksonville, right? Okay? Tony Baselli's the guy they pictured with their finalist candidates walking through the atrium of their building or wherever it was in the building. But you see, you know, Tony Baselli and the guy he's going to interview with. What did Tony Baselli make a living doing? Protecting the quarterback. Like, I would imagine Baselli asking at some point, hey, what happened with the offensive line in Chicago? Like, I would think...
So true.
An offensive line, I would think that would be near the forefront of Tony Baselli's mind. I have no idea. Maybe it didn't come up at all, but, like, you know, you've got some explaining to do there as well if that comes up. So if the Bears can get this thing going, and, you know, I'm not talking about necessarily this year, but turn this thing around, then they'll have people working there that will be attractive to other clubs. There's no question about it.
Three picks in the top 41. This is prospect week down in Indy, the Underwear Olympics, if as Dustin likes to call it. Is it trite to ask or to wonder what the Bears are looking for specifically? Are you expecting somebody to emerge that maybe is a sleeper? What are you looking for if you are following the Bears' habits this week?
I think you're looking at the you're looking at guys that they could build with, like guys that are going to be, they got to pass a character test. I think they got to be guys you want in your room. You know, if Ben Johnson's going to have an influence on Ryan Poles, look at the type of individuals they brought in Detroit, and Ben Johnson's his own guy. And he's not going to try to replicate what Dan Campbell's done. And he's not going to say, well, Brad Holmes did it this way. But I think you're looking for a type of player. And then I think you got to look at a combination of positions that are going to fill needs. And you can't draft for need. It does play a role in things. If you're naive and think that it doesn't happen, you're kidding yourself. When teams say, "Oh no, we never do that," they're lying to you as well.
Yeah.
Right, but it's that puzzle that you're putting together through free agency and the draft. So when you talk about those three picks in the first two rounds, I'm looking again at the offensive line store. I'm looking at the defensive line, and then, you know, maybe you're considering a running back in there, or is there some other piece to the puzzle where you think there's a special player? And I just don't see him going for a tight end there right now. But that's a position that I'm intrigued about because I think it's a good one for this draft, and they're going to need to pair somebody up with Cole Kmet. And it's not real strong for the tight end position in free agency. And you know, what are they looking for? Do you want a blocker? Do you want a receiver? Do you want a hybrid? I mean, in the perfect world, you get a great hybrid, right? Our guy can do everything. I don't know that they're in a perfect world tight end shopping, but it's early in the process.
See, that to me is the most fascinating element of a new coach, a new defensive coordinator. What are they looking for in terms of a player profile? Have they sat down with the scouts and told them, hey, you know, we don't need a three technique, not in our system. We're looking for more girth. And I don't know the answer to that, Brad. I don't know if they are changing what they're looking for as opposed to what they had a year ago.
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I know that through the end of last week, they were involved in personnel meetings. So I think that's reviewing what you have on the roster, that's talking about it, that's talking about fits. And they've got a couple more weeks here before free agency. So I think you're talking about meeting with the coordinators who have spent time with the position coaches. Because you're right. You're getting a general profile of, hey, what are we looking for athletically from this position? Like, what's the ideal? And you want to learn that, and then you want to try to make that happen. And that's why you look at some of these places that have had the same coach, the same GM, the same scouts forever, and they just seem to replenish what they need. Like, look at how the Baltimore Ravens have done things for the longest time, and that's because their college scouts in the Southeast or in the West or wherever, they know what that outside linebacker looks like in the coach's eyes and in the GM's eyes, and what it looks like on the field for them in Baltimore, and they know what the safety looks like, and they just keep supplying players because of they've got good people, they've got a deep understanding, and that takes time to develop. You're not going to get that here this year or next year. It's not going to happen 3 years from now. I mean, to get to where they are, you got to be going at it for a while, but that's an important step and something they're all going to have to kind of learn and understand together.
All right, Brad, so the entire league gathers in Indianapolis beginning today for a week. It's the NFL convention, and so this quarterback store that you know so well has some new inventory. Matthew Stafford has been given permission by the Rams to seek his market value to figure out what it would be in terms of a trade. That could be just an interesting story, or it could be a story that affects the Bears in that division. You wonder what's going to be ahead for the Vikings and Sam Darnold. There was some chatter about the Vikings and Matthew Stafford during the season. What do you think is going to happen with Matthew Stafford, and could he, in fact, end up in Minnesota?
Boy, that's it. I don't think he'd end up in Minnesota, no. And it's wild to me that the Rams, when you consider how close the Rams were to springing the upset in Philadelphia, right? Like, that was a situation where you could have had the Rams in the NFC Championship game there, right? But McVay's a pretty sharp guy, and I don't know that Les Snead, the general manager in L.A., gets the credit he really deserves. He's done a really good job for a long time. Now maybe he needs to get back and win another Super Bowl to be talked about as much as a guy like Howie Roseman. But so you kind of defer to them, like, well, if they're doing this, maybe it is the right move. Like, you got to consider that, but...
What's that like to give the guy the benefit of the doubt? What does that feel like in a football town?
Help.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what it feels like is you've got experience watching the team play in the postseason a good deal, and you've got experience watching them kind of zig when others zag, and, oh, well, they were right. Yeah, it did work. And I don't know what it feels like on a regular basis, but certainly Les Snead and Sean McVay have earned that right in Los Angeles and with those who follow the Rams.
All right. So we know the O-line store is where you got to go. We know they need defensive line help. Let's go through it a little bit. You mentioned the tight end. You got to get some depth at that position. Running back seems like it needs an upgrade, right? And there's a ton of good running backs in this draft. I'm not suggesting that they go for these positions early, but they need help at safety. I mean, when you actually stop and look at the number of players they need, as good as it is to have, what is it, 3 picks in the top 41, boy, they really could use about 6.
Yeah, but I think they're in a good spot. In some of these positions we're talking about, there's going to be talent there later on. Like, they, if they get a running back in round 2, I'm saying if they do that, they're getting a guy that they think can be an absolute workhorse, right? A guy who is going to be a real difference maker for them, because I believe they could wait until round 3 or round 4 and get a back that they're going to plug in and have a lot of success with. Running back, tight end, offensive line, certainly the defensive line. Listen, you can never get too far away from that cornerback position.
Yes.
It's not a bad idea to bring in one of those
and has every year. Has the corner position changed too in terms of the player you're looking for with a new defense coordinator?
Well, could be. I think their hope right now, guys, is that Al Harris is the perfect guy to kind of communicate and break through with Tyreek Stevenson to help kind of unlock more of his potential. But you simply cannot have. There's no such thing as having too many cornerbacks. So there's a lot of ways they can go here, but let's not overcomplicate it. Like, this should be a meat and potatoes off season for Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson in the trenches, focused on offensive and defensive linemen.
Absolutely. Thank you, Big Z. Have fun when you get down there.
Safe travels. Don't speed.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Sun-Times.
Trying to help him out.
Yeah. Well,
I-65.
It also, like, a truck can come at you and fly past you. You got to be very careful.
You got to pee on your toes.
You know, you just got to stay awake and manage yourself on that long drive down to Indy. It's only a few hours, but it's
only a couple hours. It does meditation time, books on tape, whatever you want, podcasts.
Books on tape, I love. Okay. We're going to get to your calls. 312-644-6767. We're talking about new ownership for the White Sox. Are you happy? Are you sad? What is your reaction?
Cubs had a big weekend.
Cubs are undefeated in the spring. They were down 5-0. That meant nothing. Came back and won 6-5 because they're the Cubs.
Bulls or Hawks were
not gonna
making
lose.
News at the United Center over the weekend, if that's what you want to talk about.
But the Bears are also a fun story.
Yeah.
So 312-644-6767. It's Mullion Hall on the Score.
Cubs spring training games on the Score are sponsored by Sloan, the leader in smart water and commercial restroom solutions.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
I found exactly what I was looking for right here, and it didn't take me very long on that interview to see the presence of George, Kevin, Ryan, the rest of the crew. It was everyone has a shared vision, and they're totally committed to building a team that this city's going to be proud of.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's what you need. Just total commitment.
Total commitment. Everyone. Bears are convening in Indianapolis.
Yes,
the whole staff is down there. I don't know if all 28 assistant coaches are down there.
I hope so.
But the main people are down there evaluating prospects. So we're going to talk a little bit about what the Bears are looking at this week. We just talked to Big Z. We're going to talk to John Greenberg at 8. We've got Cole Wright at 9. We've got plenty of Cubs and Sox talk down the road. But the Bears, this is a big week for them. They've got 3 picks in the top 41, Mully, and you have to be ready at number 10 to do everything because you're at the spot where you're going to get a plug-and-play starter if you stay. You're going to probably supplement your depth chart and roster if you trade down, which is appealing to some people given where the Bears are. And you also have to consider this, and this is fascinating. What if you traded up? What if you traded up for a generational – people hate that word. Let me rephrase it then. What if you trade up for an immediately impactful –
that's good.
Defensive player who might be an edge rusher, might be a guy that you feel like you're so convicted to go get him, you want him badly.
Abdul Carter.
That's the guy.
That's the guy.
That's the guy. That's
supposed
the only
to go second. Maybe he could be the first pick in the draft.
If I'm the Tennessee Titans and I'm sitting there looking at my quarterback situation, oh, goodness sakes, and you're dizzy, and you're thinking that you're looking at the draft possibilities at the top of the draft, and Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, and oh, you're nauseous. No. I'm trading nobody. Or I may be listening to trades, but I'm putting a like draft day. I'm going full Kevin Costner, Abdul Carter, no matter what. And I'm putting it in my pocket, and I'm going to draft him number 1 overall because I think he could be the guy in this first round, in this first 10 ish, that is the most impactful guy. He's your Micah Parsons.
Well, I mean, I have no problem with that. If the Bears come away with a impact pass rusher, a potential Pro Bowl pass rusher, that makes their defense 10 times better. That makes Montez Sweat a better player. You get more production out of him if the kid is as good as he's looked. He looks great. He looks a lot like Micah Parsons.
He looks a lot like Parsons. Same school.
Same number.
Same number.
Very
same uniform.
Not to think of
him. He's a Nittany Lion.
But I think the point that you made
is a problem.
Fascinating to me is that I'm not sure there's a quarterback worth taking at number 1 overall.
I don't either.
I'm not sure. I mean, Cam Ward says he's going to remember if you don't take him, you're going to be in trouble. But that doesn't scare me, to be honest with you. And he might be a pretty good player. But like Shedeur Sanders is not working out at the combine. He'll do his own workout. There's tons of players. Very rarely do guys really work out at the combine. But I think that the Bears have so many things that could improve them. And I wonder how you feel. Let's say they stay at 10 and they're choosing between, like, let's say the tackles are gone and the two pass rushers are gone. And now they're choosing, would you in any way consider taking a position other than offensive, defensive line, whether it be Ashton Jeanthi, whoever it might be, would you vary from your plan, which has to be to rebuild in the trenches?
Those are some real compelling alternatives, but it's unlikely. We have to accept that as the premise, because it's unlikely that both tackles will be gone at 10 and your impactful defensive lineman, and because the quarterbacks will be there. I just think that, but for the sake of the argument.
That's all I'm saying. Suppose,
for the sake of the argument, yes, yeah. I do think that I am keeping an open mind in this draft, because I don't want to declare something and then all of a sudden when that happens, you're like, oh, God, I'm out on this. Because I do think this is, it's an offseason full of optimism and open-mindedness, because you have a new head coach whose opinion you've got to trust, because it's consensus is that he is the smartest guy in many rooms. Ashton Jeanthi, for instance. We would hear why you shouldn't draft a running back at 10. We'll hear why that's not a premium position anymore. We'll hear all the arguments against it. And if somehow, for whatever reason, they end up with Ashton Jeanthi, I still think we'll come in here Friday morning and be like, wow, they got Ashton Jeanthi. I mean, because it makes no sense at all.
We got to be careful about that.
It makes no sense at all. Now, I'm not speaking for you. I don't want to speak for you.
It's okay.
Because I do think that there would be an element of that. I don't think that's the way they should go. I don't think that's the way they will go. But if they do, I'm going to reserve a little bit of that kind of space in my brain to say, you know what, this could be fun. this could be the right move, and this could be one they don't regret.
I got a feeling, honestly, that we're going to come in. If they did that, we'd come in the next day, and we'd say, who's going to block for him? Why didn't you take guys that can clear a path? You know, if you got a good offense.
Now, why didn't you trade down?
Now, again, we'll see what happens in free agency. We may have a different story. We may think differently. We may go into that draft feeling like the offensive line now is good enough. Now they've got enough. They picked up two guys in free agency. They're paying a fortune. That's the interior of the line. The tackles are fine. You can protect. The quarterback doesn't have to get sacked 100 million times. Let's see them run the ball. And oh my God, they got this running back.
Oh my gosh, you're right. That's why I'm saying now I'm going to reserve that little space, because if they sign Drew Dahlman from the Falcons, they get Trey Smith from the Chiefs, and all of a sudden
you're done.
They have a veteran offensive line core now that you feel good about. Braxton Jones is coming back quicker from injury than expected, and all of a sudden you're lining up on the first day of training camp with four guys who have done those jobs before pretty well.
And you got a general manager that's going to say, this is the best group I've ever seen.
And the best depth we've ever had. Yes. How'd that go? That's so great. So I think we want to keep an open mind. Back to the quarterback conversation, because I do think it affects who could be there and who couldn't be there. I just look at this top five list of quarterbacks, the consensus top five, and you start with the two guys we mentioned, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, and then you get into who is next, Jalen Milroe from
Alabama,
Kyle McCord from Syracuse, and then maybe the kid I think is probably the best of the five I'm mentioning here, Jackson Dart of Ole Miss.
Wow,
what
a name.
It's great. Isn't that a great name for a pitcher or
a quarterback?
Yeah.
He's throwing. Dart throwing. He's throwing a dart.
I don't know if any one of those guys is worth redirecting the course of your franchise for. I don't know that any of those guys is worth trading up to get. And I think that it's one of those years. Remember the year that Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback drafted in the first round?
That's what you're looking at here.
I think that is, but somebody's going to be fooled into taking two of these guys or one of these guys in the top five or ten. And that could. And if they don't, then that's probably – I think if you're the Bears, you certainly want those guys to be drafted in the top ten. So the best players fall back to you. You're not in the market for a quarterback. So you hope that somebody overdrafts Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. And it's likely to happen, because there's a sucker born every minute.
Yeah, you know, what's wild is that you figure they are, you know, you look at the Bears and you say, okay, who's the best tight end in the draft? How would that guy look? who is the best wide receiver in the draft?
Mm-hmm.
How would that guy look? You already got two wide receivers, but you still have a spot you got to fill, right? Are you going to fill that in free agency with someone from Detroit?
Tim Patrick?
That the coach knows well? I don't know the answer to that. But they now have enough money that they could get five players easily. Five really good players and make themselves better at some key positions.
Think about what you just said, because we talk all the time about the NFL, and this is why the NFL is the league where the way we talk about it is different, I think, than a lot of other leagues. You say you're only 1 year away from getting back in contention unless things have gone really bad. And then things have been bad in Chicago.
Yes,
I'm not diminishing that. But you still, based on the disappointment of last season, have a roster where if you add five free agents to this roster, you're back in contention. You theoretically are back in contention.
That's what I'm talking about.
With your draft capital and this kind of investment in free agency, you can't sit here and say the Bears are going to be totally out of it and they don't have a reason to go into it optimistically thinking they can contend for a playoff spot. That's what free agency allows you to do.
Let's be careful. Free agency is about fixing holes that you have on your team because you didn't draft well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's also a chance to get like an impact player. There are teams that feel like they're one player away from being in contention. And if you get Saquon Barkley, then you're a different team and you're a significantly better team because you've already built up your line. That sort of thing is out there. I just think that with the Bears, they've got to operate in the trenches. And I would spend my free agency money on a guard, a center, and a defensive player, whether it's a tackle or an end.
Same.
Then you go into the draft, and now all of a sudden you have options. You still need to build those areas up. So after the first three picks, then you're no longer just looking for need, you're filling holes, and you got to do that. You got to have depth. But the first three picks offer you a chance to get a starting player, a guy that can make an impact. And that, I don't know what position that is, because it's how the board falls.
You're right. We've got to stop thinking of second-round picks in this town as guys who are just going to provide depth. They're starters.
They're starters.
And if you do it right, they should be starters fairly quickly.
That's right.
In their development. Now, you can even find starters in the third round, which has been a big, big swing and a miss round for Ryan Poles. But three with the top 41, if you don't trade back, you're in a position to add as many as three plug-and-play starters. If you had five players in free agency, you're talking about a team that now has a roster that has fewer concerns. And I know as Brad Biggs is pulling out of his driveway, heading on down to Indianapolis, he's scoffing and saying, you don't win that way by building through free agency.
That's right.
But you've got to complement your draft picks with smart free agent signings. Yep. That's the way the best teams do it. Yep. That's what the Bears need to do this offseason.
Yeah, if they fix their offensive line, and by that I just mean they need two interior players. If they get them in free agency, that opens up That takes away a position of need. So they would be solving some of their problems before they get into the draft, which would open them up to whatever player happens to be there. There are players out there that become your favorite player. If you're a scout and you're going through something and some guy catches your eye, you follow him and you keep looking for the thing you saw. And if you see it regularly, you get on a table and you argue for the guy. And that's what you need. You need to have, first of all, an idea of what works in the NFL. This is what we need. This is how the guy has to play. You find that guy, and then you draft him. It's as simple as that.
Abdul Carter, no matter what.
I love it. I love it.
But it's not realistic.
No.
I get that. But
if you're not going to trade up, you're trading up for a quarterback, for a guy who's a undersized, speedy pass rusher.
But every year there's one guy in that top 10 that you can become fixated on.
I totally agree.
And one year for me it was Bijan Robinson. This year's Abdul Carter. I think he's the guy that's going to make an immediate impact.
I like your obsession. I think anybody, no matter what, I like that. All right, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Give us a shout. We can talk it over. Mully and Haw. Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
even at FanFest, on the stage there with all the front office executives and taking questions from the audience, you could feel the frustration. But more than the frustration, I could feel that the fans just wanted more concrete answers as to what is the plan going forward. And I think that is going to be kind of the theme of the broadcast this season is, what's the plan? Why are we looking at certain individuals? How will they fit into what the future looks like for the White Sox?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was the voice of John Schifrin. Unusual to hear him on The Score. He has not been a friend of the station, and you know, probably because he's received a lot of criticism from people on the station. But he was on with Bruce and
Ryan McGuffey,
yeah. And it was a really good interview. And I thought he kind of articulated some of his issues, maybe more than the Sox issues. But it's a really interesting story.
I think so. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think John Schifrin came on inside the clubhouse and did something he really didn't do much of last year, is that he let us in a little bit to his way of looking at it. He accepted, he acknowledged some things that he wished he would have done differently. He acknowledged the fact that he was new in town and maybe took an approach that maybe he would have done differently had he had to do it over again. It was a tough first year for him for a lot of reasons. Maybe he brought him some of it on himself. Maybe he didn't. You know what? He sounded like a guy who was ready to move on to this season with a new approach. He talked to Bruce and Ryan on Saturday morning. He talked to Paul Sullivan last week,
yeah,
the Tribune column, which was very good as well. And if he's willing to start over, I think we all should try to do the same thing. Clean slate, second year, good for him. And look, I think it's just all about the Sox being better and taking a new approach. It's going to be hard to watch them at times.
Listen,
but you know what?
His enthusiasm during that losing season just didn't match.
It didn't.
Had they been a winning team, I think that would have worked out fine. Unfortunately, they were like the worst team you've ever seen, and he was a little over the top in his kind of appreciation.
You're part of a fan base you can't fool.
That's right.
And you shouldn't try to.
That's right.
And so I think he understands that in year two it will be a little bit different, and that'll be an approach we can evaluate and continue to – I think keep an open mind. But I think on the field over the weekend, Mully, there are a couple things that happened that's interesting. Colson Montgomery homered.
Yes, I saw it.
You know that's number one on my list.
I know. It's okay. So funny.
I think Michael Clevinger
got a hold of one.
Signaled, I don't like Mike Clevinger. I don't understand it. But you know what? If he's going to be here, he might as well be useful. The idea of him as a closer is intriguing just because of his stuff, because of his mentality, because of his experience. Number three.
Him as a closer. I bring in the twitchiest guy you know, and let's see if you can.
Wouldn't you be uncomfortable in the ninth inning seeing that guy twitching around?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah,
okay. It would drive me nuts.
Grant Taylor is a guy who's a number eight prospect in the system.
Over 100 miles an hour, David.
Right-handed power thrower, fireballer, however you want to describe him. That translates well. That'll get him to the big leagues quickly.
You know what's amazing is the guy was hitting, he was over 97 miles per hour like 10 times or something, actually hit 100, threw a pitch at 101, but he didn't throw all fastballs. He was pitching. He was throwing different stuff, and he said afterwards that if you just throw a fastball, people catch up.
Does he make this team?
I don't think so because I think he needs more time.
Okay.
But, you know, he was down at LSU, and he missed a couple of seasons with an arm issue.
He's got a good pedigree.
And Paul Skeens is like a friend of his who has been vocal about this guy's a seriously good pitcher.
I love it.
So he's one.
He's another guy.
He's another one of the young guys coming up. I just think that he probably needs some time. But what's great about him is he's pitching. Even though he's a fireballer, he's trying to mix
it up, that, learn the game.
That's a good thing
to say. Be smart. The last one is a little bit more negative and a little bit more unfortunate. But Oscar Colas, he intersected, collided with a fly ball, bounced off his ricocheted off his head to his face to chest. That wasn't a good look.
No, he doesn't look like an outfielder.
Does not. He looks like a DH. Looks like a first baseman.
I don't.
Wasn't a good look.
I don't want to criticize him because you know I'm a fan.
Cuban Otani. You once called him.
I didn't call him that, but he was known as
you did
Cuban
call him
Otani.
That.
when they signed him, he was the Cuban Ohtani. I got to tell you, Ohtani's probably the best player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the Cuban Ohtani.
No, it's not.
And it just, it's
not even close.
It's harmful that he got that nickname. And unfortunately, I'm not sure he's going to make this team.
That's interesting. I don't think he makes his team either, but I don't know what you do with him
at
that
point. Yeah, I don't know
either.
So, someone said they're moving to first base.
Good developments over the weekend for the White Sox.
Tim Elko hit a home run.
That's another big one.
That's a big home run for him. He's a first baseman. He went one of two. Probably, he's like 26, probably a guy that Sox fans get a little carried away with when you see a little bit of power. But what the hell? You got another guy.
Well, the biggest development over the weekend, though, was off the field. And we're going to talk to John Greenberg from The Athletic, who broke that big story next.
All righty. 312-644-6767. We are going to get to your calls, but we are going to talk some White Sox ownership issues. Oh, man, am I excited about this. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.